Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team. As always, you can contact me anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Oh, busy, 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 busy.
You are. Taking advantage of the sunshine and the nice weather we had?
Well, in and out of town for baseball.
Ah, baseball. Yes, it is. It's ongoing with you, isn't it, with that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's that time of year, man. We had some nice, I call it Tri-Cities nights. And man, this last week, we had some of those great, great Tri-Cities nights. So absolutely enjoying that. And the real estate market staying as charged up as ever. Busy also. I think everybody got done with their holiday and we're back seriously looking. Well, we don't have him in the studio with us. He was gone over the fourth holiday. And McKay, I'm wondering if he's lost at sea or something, but he's able to call in. So we have calling in our resident in-house lending specialist from Homebridge, Mike Denzel. Mike, are you alive?
Yeah, I'm definitely alive. I'm actually, we're 2 weeks from boat races, and the lending world is hopping, and so it just was a lot easier for me to call in this time.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you but both directions there. Well, before we jump into things, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. Not a show I watch, but Town and Country Magazine reported this week that there is an HBO hit series that I guess Reese Witherspoon is in called Big Little Lies. I might have seen my wife watching this, I think, potentially. Well, it is filmed in a gorgeous beachfront property in Malibu. So now, apparently, they had just started airing. Season two just kicked off, but that likely means the filming is done. And so the house where that's filmed at is back on the market as a rental right on the beach in Malibu, and it says for a mere $3,000 to $5,000 per night, you could also enjoy the Cape Cod style property. Now, McKay, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but there are 7 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms.
Oh, so, well, that makes it all more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just get, you know, 20 of your closest friends together and
save up for 2 years.
Save up, and it's almost affordable. What got me is on the last page of the article when I was scrolling through, is they have a little summary of the property, and it says 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, 5,600 square feet, $100,000 monthly. I used to think those were rates to purchase properties, not rent for a month. So, so Malibu Beach House, if that show was your thing and you wanted to recreate it, you could rent it for an evening. Yes, I don't think that will be happening anytime soon for us. So we always like to parlay the what goes on during the week in a transaction, what's happening in Tri-Cities with real estate, and then we bring that to the show. And it was funny, as I was doing the intro, and I said you could contact me on my cell phone, and I gave out my cell phone number. It made me laugh because somebody had heard the radio show last week, and I got a call Tuesday morning, and I was just jumping in my car on the way to work, and so it was before 8, and grabbed the call, and somebody's like, yeah, I was calling the Kenmore team, and I was like, yeah, this is Lance Kenmore, go ahead. And they're like, oh, like the guy that's actually on the radio show? And I was like, yeah, how can I help you? And so he's like, oh, I wasn't expecting to talk to you. And we talk a lot about our team and the team aspect. And yes, we do have amazing team members that help with different parts of the transaction, but we are widely available and open for those questions. So that is not a fake number that we put out. I can't always always answer at every point throughout the day, but we try to be as available as possible. So,
Lance, you're saying that you actually work there too?
Yes, that's exactly the case. I mean, we might get a whole new slew of business coming in, right? Yeah, no, that is this is a working show, and yes, we are. And it was interesting because the question that the gentleman had, I could only answer part of the question. So it was unfortunate. He was in a tough situation with a current deal and what was happening. And as realtors, we have a code of ethics to where we're not allowed to interfere in another agent's relationship or transaction. And so I was able to help with one or two general questions. And then unfortunately, I was not able to advise much past that. And I had to refer him on to an attorney or a board to talk to them and back to his original agent and broker. And so so I was able to give a little bit of advice. But the point there was just really that, yeah, any of those questions that people have about their properties or the process or a subject that they heard about, definitely ring us up and give us a call. And more importantly, that led me to the subject for this week. And that was one of the reasons that call went that way, as we had recently, what had happened is, and in fact, I did a show on a current pending lawsuit. There's a lawsuit against several MLSs and the National Association of Realtors, which is basically taking a look at the structure of how people are paid in a transaction. If they consider payment to a buyer's agent coming from a seller or actually coming from the buyer that they're working with. And so the gist of that lawsuit and part of the changes in technology is to discredit what's happening with our industry. But I think it's important to note, as the realtor industry fights that, some of the differences that come up that don't exist on some of the technology platforms. And so when you're dealing with a push button technology platform, one of the things you don't get, and so the Association of Realtors had put out 7 reasons to work with a realtor, and I mentioned it with the call that I had earlier in the week about the gentleman that was having some trouble. And the number one thing that comes up on that list is ethical treatment. And so they had written down, and it says, every realtor must adhere to a strict code of ethics, which is based on professionalism and protection of the public. As a realtor's client, you can expect honest and ethical treatment in all transaction-related matters. The first obligation is to you, the client. And so this has been proven time and time again with Washington state law. It's been proven in the court systems, and it is a basis for agency law that we have to adhere to. And that's what really makes a big, big difference, because there's going to come a point in a transaction where there is some sort of issue, or it could be an ethical dilemma, could be something happening between agents. And much like I just went over, not that I would personally do this, but I think there would be people that would. If I had taken that call about that transaction, it would have been very easy for somebody that does not adhere to this same code of ethics to just say, well, I think this, and this is all wrong, and your agent did that wrong, and you've got, you're working with a non-professional. And, you know, if there was no sense of accountability or professional standards that went along with that, we would see that run rampant in the industry, and in the end of the day, likely hurt the client. So that number one reason that they wrote down is that ethical treatment. And I think it's a big one that's going to be missing in some of the technology platforms that we see come out. Number two, and that is just an expert guide. Buying a home requires dozens of forms and reports, disclosures, other technical documents, and having a knowledgeable expert guide you through that is huge. And like it says, can help avoid costly mistakes. Once again, we take real life scenarios and we bring that to the radio as the radio show. The quote I got from that phone call that I had and from that client was, there are so many pages of paperwork, I don't even know where to look for the key terms I'm trying to look for. And so once again, that was a spot where I had to direct him back to his agent and say, look, you have an agency relationship with another agent. You are going to need to talk to him about that. But he was overwhelmed with the amount of paperwork and where to look and what the contract meant. So there's another cautionary tale that I use with people, and that is paying attention when you're in the deal with your agent. I know everybody gets busy and gets super busy, but there was two other additional instances in the last week where clients had called me, or friends or family had called me, and they said, man, I was talking to somebody and they didn't realize what they were signing. And so I thought about how important that was, and knowing that. And I think a lot of times people will put a little too much emphasis on who's helping them with something and not paying attention to what they're actually signing. So yeah, I think taking some additional responsibility to read through the language, ask for clarification, but know what you're signing. Because a number of the instances that we were dealing with, the folks were like, well, I didn't realize when I signed up with ABC agent or XYZ agent, I didn't realize that I was locking myself into a 9-month contract, and there wasn't an easy exit listing like I hear you talk about on the radio. I thought everybody would have that, and it would be in there. And so so just kind of knowing that is a huge, huge deal. I don't want Mike to have to hang around on the phone all the way through our break. So before we take our break, Mike, on the lending side of things, what's going on with you? I went over just two of my 7 points, but what do we need to know? What's happening in the lending world right now?
Well, you want real world examples. I'll give you real world. Pre-approved some clients several months ago. They got under contract, and their credit report is going to expire. Typically, credit reports are good for 120 days in the lending industry, and so we were going to have to re-pull credit before the close date, which we did, and we found out that they had traded in a car for a more expensive car. They had ran up a credit card. So everything that looked good, 3 months ago was now a little bit different, and now their debt-to-income ratio was higher, and they didn't qualify for the home as we originally thought.
Mike, they don't listen to the show. We tell them no new cars during house hunting.
No new debt, right?
No new debt at all.
I mean, it's everywhere. And so they closed last week, but they had to come in with a little more money because they had to pay off something that they didn't intend in paying off. The other thing is you've got a close date, for example, last week of July 12th, Friday, right? A lot of deals close on Friday.
Yes.
So you're typically signing 1 or 2 days ahead of that. Well, one of the spouse was just out of town. It made for, again, we got to scurry around and try to figure out how to make that happen. But just being available, being in town, not adding debt. I mean, I take this for granted, and you do too, that we've talked about this a million times, but some people don't think of that. And even when they're reminded, it doesn't sink in. And so my big thing is constant communication with the lender. Hey, I'm going to get a new credit card. We want to trade in our car and get something else. Just everything like that needs to be discussed so that we can explore, hey, is this going to hurt? Is this going to potentially put the purchase in jeopardy? All those kind of things. And this is stuff that just happened last week.
Mike, that is really, really good advice. And like I said, this is real stuff. This is what's happening in those transactions. And so knowing what your debt-to-income ratio is and keeping your lender informed about that through the process is huge. Well, Mike, I know you're busy, and I know even on the weekend you've been juggling some calls and pre-approvals and stuff. So thank you for taking the time to call in and answering your phone. And we are headed off to our first break. And when I get back, we'll go over more reasons you should be working with a realtor.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We had just wrapped up getting a update from our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow. Good to hear from him. And he is back beating the streets on a busy day. So before the break, one of the things we were kind of talking about is we had talked about some testimony that had happened recently in front of Congress. And so one of the things is Pat Combs, past president of the National Association of Realtors, had testified about housing to combat government complaints about industry pricing. There's a big lawsuit going on right now about collusion and pricing in the industry. And so one of the topics that was brought up as they look for technology for decreasing pricing and ways to cut those costs, one of the things that was brought up is she presented at that hearing to the House Financial Services Committee presented what she calls 184 steps in the transaction checklist.
Ooh.
And really driving home the point of what really goes on in working with an agent in the background. And it was really interesting because obviously on a 30-minute radio show, I can't go over all 184, but they were distributing this week and for agents to talk about with their clients and to present. And along with that, they also presented 7 reasons to work with a realtor. And so I thought it was really interesting to kind of get some of this information out there to the public. And before the break, we talked about reason number 1 being ethical treatment, which you would think wouldn't have to be written down, but it does. You would think everybody expect that. And number 2, an expert guide. The third thing that came down, it came down to was objective information and opinions on why you would want to work with an agent. And so realtors, you know, can provide local information on utilities, zoning, schools, and more. We have objective information when we're doing comparables about each property, and then we can utilize that data to help people understand what a property might or might not be worth. It takes me back this week. Another incident that we had was some land that was listed, and it was kind of one of those crazy deals where there was some land listed, and within an hour and a half or 2 hours, we had put in an offer for a client, a full price offer, actually over full price, and we had a couple contingencies, and that particular seller came back the next day and raised the price $20,000 from what they had originally listed it. And their reasoning was if they had interest within 2 hours, then they thought they had underpriced it. And so it was interesting, though, because, you know, on our side of the fence, in that case, I was representing the buyer, and we were able to sit down and look at some comparables and say, here is some things to be concerned about, access, lack of irrigation water, you know, A, B, C, D. And we were able to go through that process and say, based upon what we're seeing in that situation, this isn't a value that you're looking at for what you're comparing apples to apples. Now, could someone else come along and pay that? Maybe for that second person, they had reasons outside of market value that were better. Maybe that was the one location they had to be at they were a doctor and had to be to the hospital in 10 minutes. You know, so maybe there was something, I don't know the other side or what happened, but maybe there were factors like that. Mm-hmm. That made the property to them more valuable, and they were willing to overpay above market. And so you don't know that situation, and each situation is unique, but we have data and comparables and previous land sales, and so we're able to look and help our clients make that decision. And at the end of the day, we were able to say, you know, it was fun. The client and I were, you know, going back and forth about it, and they were like, man, that would have been great to have that lot, or I really want that. And I said, and I wrote back and said, no, you really wanted it at market value. And so I was able to say, you know, your goals and situation for what you were looking at, mm-hmm. you weren't in a position looking to overpay. And so each situation is unique, but we're able to take that data and help a client make those objective decisions and provide opinions in that. The fourth thing written down is expanded search power. And so a realtor can really help find opportunities that might not be listed on home search sites, maybe help you avoid out-of-date listings that still show up. Not every single website is updated every 15 minutes.
Well, just look at when you do a Google search and you know that this restaurant or this building is closed.
Yes.
And they don't show that.
Yes, absolutely. And so, or you're looking up you're looking up hours for something.
And the hours are wrong.
I mean, I was literally, McKay, laughing out loud because I went somewhere with somebody and it was over the hall holiday, over the 4th, and we pulled up, and it wasn't a big deal. I think we were going out to eat somewhere. Maybe it was Mexican. I don't remember exactly, but we pulled up, and there's a sign on the door, and it says closed early for the holiday, closed at 6. And so I'm like, oh, we're going to have to eat somewhere else. Like, to me, just kind of, I'm fairly flexible sometimes. And so, you know, most of the time. And so I'm like, okay, let's go eat somewhere else. And the two people I was with were just absolute. They're like, Google says it's open. They were just like so upset and like yelling at their phones. And I said, are you guys serious right now? Because I'm like, they're like, I'm standing right here and it's not open. Regardless of what Google tells you,
yeah.
We are not eating inside that restaurant.
Unless you want a pair of handcuffs.
Yes, exactly. So it is one of those things, though, where you can help verify information. A lot of times people will call us, hey, I see this house listed on Zillow. It says it is in pre-foreclosure. We get those calls all the time. Well, pre-foreclosure is different than foreclosure, and sometimes they just list properties where payments are late, even on certain websites. Mm-hmm. And so we can help verify, is that really a property that's available, or is just the advertising being manipulated to make you think it's available? So expanded search power is a big one. And the number five is negotiation knowledge. And so there's so many factors that are up for discussion in a deal. And so having a realtor partner to look at the different angles can really, really give somebody a huge advantage. A number of clients, in fact, there were two in the last 2 weeks that had called and said, hey, we pretty much have a verbal agreement on a deal, mm-hmm. and we've listened to the radio show, and we would like to just go ahead and finalize those details and get it put together. And so we said, okay, that's fantastic. We'll sit down with each party, or we can talk to you and come up. And we, in those cases where this particular case, we were talking with a seller that we had helped price out their home, let them know what it would go on the market. And they're like, hey, it turns out a neighbor or a friend wants to buy it, so can you, you know, represent us in that sale, but we don't fully need to go on the market. And so we said, okay, great. What's the agreement? We rough out the basic steps. And it's funny because from the time it was a verbal agreement to we put a contract together on it and put that contract in front of the buyer was like, hey, I didn't agree to these six items. And so when a lot of times people might have an agreement on what they feel is a deal, mm-hmm. but that's say four or five big items. When it comes down to it, we're dealing with a 17-page contract,
yeah.
which instead of four or five items of discussion to make sure all parties are protected or to make sure, in this case, the seller had exactly what they wanted in place, we're talking about 100 different points that need to be covered. So big difference between verbal agreement and transferring that to an enforceable written contract in real estate. So, folks, I didn't even make it through. We're not even going to talk about the 184 steps in the transaction checklist because I didn't even make it through the seven reasons. I only got through five on working with the realtor. And I do want to get some local property in before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Some new listings we got on the market. Awesome, awesome week for some sweet summer properties coming on. Over in Kennewick, 3407 South Jean Street, this is a three-bed, two-bath, well-maintained Rambler. So this is the Columbia Rancho Kennewick, 3940 square feet. And this property is on 1.77 acres. So you've got an in-ground pool, open RV parking, living room, formal dining room, generous kitchen space, custom walk-in pantry, main level bedrooms are bright with natural light, custom built-in closets. Absolutely awesome, awesome property. So three bed, two bath. And so that is on 1.77 acres. A lot of people looking for acreage. Priced at $372,000.
Wow.
So that is a great property, 3407 South Jean Street in Kennewick. Pick number two that I brought up, 4214 West Klamath in Kennewick. This is a condo. So listen to this. Three-bedroom, three-bath condo in West Kennewick. It's called Chateau 42. 1726 square feet, vaulted ceilings, new flooring throughout. Awesome big kitchen with new cabinets, slate, range oven. You've got new countertops. Awesome LVP. They went through and put new LVP flooring. That's the luxury vinyl plank. And then upstairs, you've got a master suite with a remodeled private bath and a tiled shower. The monthly condo dues here cover most of the exterior maintenance, grounds maintenance, irrigation, pool, clubhouse, RV parking, and tennis courts. And that's coming in at $208,000. Little disclaimer here, the seller of that property is a licensed broker in the state of Washington. He actually works on the Kenmore team, and he is selling that condo and moving on to another property. So fantastic property there. And then pick number three, here's a price point we don't see too much anymore. 714 West Marie Street in Pasco. Two bed, one bath, Central Pasco, 920 square feet, original hardwood floors, lots of natural light, fully fenced yard, detached, two-car garage, $149,000. That is not a pick three that we have had in a long time in that price point. So, folks, there is some great inventory coming on the market right now. It's getting gobbled up quickly, though. Go to KenmoreTeam.com if you want to take a look at it. And if there's any property you see around the Tri-Cities you want help with or representation with, shoot us a quick message, and we would love to apply for the job of helping you out with that. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.